You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
On the money line, the Colts are 5-2, the Steelers 1-3, and this spread is set at 7 here. The Colts plus 7, 20-23. The Steelers minus 7, 20-21. Both these franchises 6-5 at the moment, with Indianapolis top of the AFC South and Pittsburgh second behind the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC North. And it's strange how things work out sometimes, Gil, because at the start of the season, everyone was talking about Andrew Luck being the key to Indianapolis' success. But they're riding the arm of a 40-year-old veteran quarterback in Matt Hasselbeck in Indianapolis at the moment. And it's working out well currently, Gil.
It's working out well, but I think this is where that train stops.
I agree.
Matt Hasselbeck, 40 years old, as you say. I mean, give him credit. The Colts are 4-0 with him starting this season. Andrew Luck, when he was playing and starting for the Colts, they were just 2-5. You know, Andrew Luck with the shoulder injury, the rib fracture, the lacerated kidney, the torn abdominal muscle, you name the injury. But the key to that is that Hasselbeck has faced teams with a combined 477 win percentage, while Luck's opponents had a 610 win percentage. So, you know, that matters as well. There's a reason, you know, give credit where it's due. Way to go, Matt Hasselbeck. But now you're playing a team that's a lot better than the ones you've faced. And I think this is where, you know, things change. Another really informative stat, or a stat that informs why Hasselbeck has been more successful than Luck: Colts opponents have scored 7 points off 5 turnovers and starts by Hasselbeck this season. They scored 61 off 17 turnovers in Andrew Luck starts. So, yes, Andrew Luck turning the ball over way more than Matt Hasselbeck. But on the other hand, Colts opponents versus Hasselbeck, they have not been able to capitalize on the turnovers that he has committed, or that the Colts have committed while he's been behind center. And that's something that you can't project, you cannot project moving forward. So I think a little bit of that good fortune will run out here.
I see this total points line has just moved. I was making notes for this game earlier, Gil, and it was set at 48. It's gone up to 49 now. The under is 10-11, the over 10-11. I can just see a ton of points here, Gil, in this matchup from a personal perspective.
Well, that's the thing with the Steelers. You know, we saw a bit of that last week. Big Ben, 456 yards passing against the Seahawks, as we said. Now, the big assumption, let's start off the bat here, Dave, by saying I'm going to assume, and you know what they say about assuming, that Big Ben is going to play here. So yeah. everything here is predicated on the fact that Big Ben plays. And if you followed it this week, Big Ben says he has no idea he had a concussion. The Steelers say he did have a concussion. Either way, he's passed concussion protocol, and he's acting, as we do this podcast here, about 48 hours, little more than 48 hours before game time, that he will play. So, yes, the Steelers are an offensive juggernaut with Big Ben this season. That cannot be emphasized enough. And the difference, the drop-off from Big Ben down to either Landry Jones or Michael Vick can be quantified. The Steelers, with Big Ben on the field, they pass 69% of the time. 69% of plays when Ben is on the field, they pass. That's the highest rate of his career. 63% was his previous high. And despite that, he ranks third in total QBR. I get this again from Mike Sando over at ESPN. Third in total QBR at 72.8 this season. So he's never passed more, and he's really, really performing at an elite level. 72.8 is his total QBR. If you take Landry Jones and Michael Vick and combine them into a total QBR score, they're at 33.3, which suggests that they'd only win one out of every three games, pretty much. But with Big Ben, it's an elite-level performer, and, you know, they lead. The reason for them leading the NFL in yards per play on offense at 6.4 yards per play is directly on the shoulders of Big Ben Roethlisberger. He's been fabulous. Antonio Brown is an amazing weapon. And D'Angelo Williams has stepped in fabulously for Le'Veon Bell. That Steelers offense is capable of dropping 40 any time out on the football field.
They are indeed. I'm with you here. You're going with the Steelers then, Gil, I take it here.
I am going with the Steelers. To your point about how this could be a shootout, I do think that the Colts will try to pass and pass often against the Steelers' pass defense. We talked a little bit about how Russell Wilson exploited the Steelers' pass defense last week, but the truth is that the Steelers' run defense is pretty good and that the Colts' running game is virtually non-existent. They're generating nothing on the ground. So, yes, to your point, I think the Colts are going to try to make it into a shootout, for lack of a better option, and they will not be able, in my opinion, to keep up with the Steelers.
No, I agree. I can see a lot of points. I can see the Steelers winning. You mentioned D'Angelo Williams and Antonio Brown as weapons. Marcus Wheaton had a breakout game last week against the Seattle Seahawks, and Martavis Bryant, an exceptional receiver as well. They just have some weapons. I wonder whether, thinking ahead here, Gil, for an anti-postway draw futures bet, the Pittsburgh Steelers 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. I was wondering whether that's got any chance.
Well, of course it has some chance. I guess the issue with the Steelers is that, unlike the Colts, who even at 6-5 can still rely on winning their division if they can get past the Texans and squeak in that way and then get to play in the postseason, the Steelers really realistically have no shot of winning their division.
No.
3 games behind the Bengals with 5 to play. So their real fight is with a mess of teams, just a bunch of teams in the AFC to get in as a wild card. Now, that's the key to me. If they get in, they are, I would agree with you, one of those teams that you just don't want to face. There are always those couple or few teams that are the proverbial, that's a team I don't want to see in the playoffs. And I think the Seahawks, for instance, are one of those teams. And the Steelers in the AFC would be one of those too. I don't think anybody in their right mind want to play that offense because there's always, as we like to say in boxing, there's always a puncher's chance with the Steelers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.